Let the church say amen. I thank God for allowing us to be able to come back again this evening to offer another worship service unto him. Praying that be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. It's always an honor and a privilege to stand and to share a portion of God's word. I think it's an honor that we have to be able to do that, which God has allowed us to do that. If you would, be finding Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is where the lesson will be coming from this evening. And for a title, will be A Living Sacrifice. A Living Sacrifice. And we will share from that. And hopefully we can gain some things that will maybe encourage us to do what that song just said, follow Jesus wherever he tells us to go, because that's what it boils down to. And that's what God will always have for us to do, and that's what we want to strive to do. In Romans chapter 12, we have Paul, as you know, is the author of the book of Romans, and he is giving us the information that God will have for us to have. And as we look at this, we want to keep in mind as we, I'd like for you to keep in mind the sacrificial standpoint from Jesus' standpoint, and also we will look into our lives as being sacrifices for God. I'd like to start in Romans chapter 1, Romans 12, 1. If you will read that with me, I'll be using a couple of translations. I was told before you can't really follow me sometimes, wondering what am I reading. I'll be using basically coming from three different translations, regular King James, New King James, and some points New Living Translation. So between the New Living Translation and the King James is where I'll be reading from. Romans 12, 1. This is New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for us and for you, is that too much? Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect and the perfect will really is. I'd like to go back to verse 1, and we will try and dissect that. And I'll read it from King James. I prefer the King James in Romans 12, 1. The King James would read like this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. As we go through there, there's some words we want to look at. First, he says, I beseech you. He's talking to the Roman, the Christians at Rome, and he's talking directly to them. So the context is naturally, we know, is directly to them, but it definitely applies to us and directly to us. I beseech you, therefore. When he uses the term therefore here, he is really coming to a conclusion, in a sense, of the first 11 chapters that he has given to them already. And when you go back through those 11 chapters, you'll see why he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore. And so he's referring to those first chapters 1 through 11. And he kind of do a summation here in this very verse. And you'll see that as we move forward. He says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And that's where the mercies, when you look at this, the mercies that God has given us, how he has set us free through sin, he's put everyone under sin. In Romans chapter 3, everyone has committed sin. So no one has an escape. And not only from the Romans, but all mankind has no escape. So all is under sin. So now what God does is now give us a way out from sin. And through these, and this is where the mercies of God comes in, because that's just how it's done. And Brother JB is doing a lesson on grace. And this is what it's all about. The grace of God is something God is giving us. And we are learning how to be merciful ourselves. And when you give mercy to someone, you're really not looking for anything back, and that person can't make you be merciful toward them, but you do it because you decide to do that, and you know it's the right thing to do. And so God has given us these mercies, and this is what we are, or how we're able to be able to do what God wants us to do. Without that, we are actually helpless. And so he said, these mercies of God, that you present yourselves. Now, a presentation, as we present ourselves to God, it brings on another mindset. And I'd like for us to, if you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 as well, in this presentation, we will see that how helpful, how this comes together. Romans 6:13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So when we present ourselves to God, this is how Paul had already instructed them. He covered this already. This is how you present yourself to God. You present yourself to God because God has now made you alive. He has brought you alive, and you are able to give God what he wants. Not from the unrighteous standpoint of view, but from a righteous standpoint of view. And that's very important for us to remember and really be thankful for that, because when worship and when we come to God, not only in our worship service, but on a daily, momentous time frame, we're presenting ourselves to God. And as we present ourselves to God as righteous servants of God, because he has made us free from sin. So that's the presentation in righteousness. So it's true worship that God is after for us. But he wants us to do this for ourselves. He says, that you present your bodies. Now, when we go into bodies, sometimes I'm thinking from my standpoint of view, how we handle our bodies, what we do to them, and we don't take care of them like we should. And God has given us these bodies. These are the vehicles that God has given us to take care of. How long do you go without having your brakes checked if you bought a brand new vehicle? You just don't do that. The manufacturer, he says, I need you to bring this in at every 5,000 miles. I need to look them over. I need to check that. And God wants us, these bodies that he's given us is the vehicle that God has given us to use for him and for he to set us free and to give us what we need. And so when we look at that, I'd like to look a little bit further into that. You're still in Romans chapter 6. Go back up to verse 5. We'll start at verse 5. Verses 5, 6, and 7. We'll look at that as well. Romans 6, verse 5. It says, If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, ye shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Other places in the scriptures, you will see that God tells us, as we learn and grow with him, we learn to put off the old man. The old man is encompassing all of us. Not only the body, soul, and spirit, that's us. And that's who we are. As we went through our lives as youngsters and grew up to the point that we are now, we have encompassed the world and we have sinned throughout. And so here, he is letting us know how this all comes together. And so we are able now, and so he's letting us know at the last part of that, he set us free from that. So no longer have to operate in that. Or if we do, we operate from a choice standpoint of view, not from someone forcing us or you have to. But God is helping us to see that. I really appreciate God how He does this through Paul to help us see this. I like to read verse 6 again. He says, "Knowing this, that your old man is crucified with Him," and that's with Christ, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And that's a choice that you see. Henceforth, that's a choice that we make. We want to do that and not fall into that. So here we have come to presentation on your bodies. We're looking at how the body work into this and as a living sacrifice. And that's what my focal point is, being a living sacrifice. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We want to read verses 23 and 24 in regards to a living sacrifice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. "And that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you." And so here we see how Paul does this again. Paul is still a writer here in the Thessalonians, and he is letting them know. Holy, and you see in a King James it would be W-H-O-L-L-Y. Now he's encompassing the whole person. That's what he's referring to here. That's all of us, mind, body, and spirit. And so all of us, as a living sacrifice, we want to present ourselves, the whole man, to God as God will have us to, which is acceptable unto God. And so as we get a understanding and we see what God wants from us, now we're able to look at it and focus it, and we're able to do better. And that's what God will always have for us to do. One other point I'd like to make here. He says, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that's well-pleasing. As we know in the old system, well, I'll get ahead of myself if I go there, which is acceptable unto God. He says, in the King James, it'll put as your reasonable service. And here, when the word reasonable, the Greek gives us a connotation of logical and reasonable and spiritual. That's what the give you a little bit clearer sense of reasonable service. See, in the Old Testament, when they would give a dead sacrifice, God specified that sacrifice. He told them exactly how He wanted them to kill it. He told them exactly what He wanted. "I don't want no spots on it. I don't want no blemishes. I don't want no sick animal. I don't want that. If you give me that, that's sin." And so when we look at it from the Old Testament standpoint of view of a dead sacrifice, and we look at it from the New Testament standpoint where Paul is talking to us today, he says, "I want you to be a living sacrifice." See, if we look at it from this standpoint, the beast in the Old Testament was irrational. You had no rationality. They operated from what God has implanted in them. Well, God gave us the ability to be rational. He gives us the ability to think. So now we are the most reasonable sacrifice that God has. That's human. And so that's why when it comes to, you know, how we treat animals and things like that, and sometimes we place animals on levels that they just should not be. But we do that. Don't get me wrong. Animals seem like they can talk to you sometimes and all of that stuff. They just God has given them that ability. They tell you that a dog has a capacity of about 2,500 words, and it can understand that. That's pretty good. And so, but we take it to the next level. And God wants us to. He wants us to settle down. He wants us to give Him what He asks for, so we can have the peace that He wants us to have. Without understanding, we won't we'll struggle more and more. So as we get clearer and clearer of understanding, now we're able to offer God what he wants. Now we're more acceptable and servant that God will have for us to be, which is always pleasing to God. And that's what we want to do. So I just wanted to cover those because it's important as we look at this. When Paul writes this, he wants us to get a good sense of that. And that's why when we read in Romans 5, verse 8, we read Romans 5, 5 and 6 this morning. I'd like to read 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 5, 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God, what he has given us and where he has set us, it is pleasing to him, and we are learning how it can be pleasing to us. But in order for us to get there, we have to let some things happen. We have to let things happen into our lives. It's like the song that was the last song that was led, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." That is so profound, because where God is leading us, we cannot get there. We cannot get there on our own. We can't pay anybody to get us there. The only way we get there is by doing exactly what he says, just follow him. And where he leads us, sometimes we don't want to go. It's just simple as that. We just do not want to go. But he says, follow me, and as you follow me, now you are able to understand, you're able to achieve, and now you're able to get there. And that's what God wants us to do. Just follow him. Simply follow him. And I think this is the time when we should be irrational and just follow him like the animals do and like everything else does. And everything else is set on a plane. When we got up this morning, the sun, the earth had moved in a point, and we saw the sun. It's set there. God says it's going to be there until I tell it to not be there. And that's how he wants our lives. That's where he's taking us. He wants us to be able to hear what he's saying and follow him. And that's why I said, not by sight, and that's what Corinthians lets us know. We follow God by faith, not by sight. And so that's where he wants us to go. So I want to cover that. Hopefully that can, when you put this together, you see how each word that Paul used, how it brings us to the point to help us see clear. And it also, naturally, it was there to help them see because they had issue with that. And so that's why he's there telling them, look, this is what God has done for you. He set you free. He's given you everything you need to be an acceptable servant to him. So as Corinthian letter lets us know to examine ourselves, we examine ourselves on every level that we can think, that the word has brought to our mind, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to recognize where we need to make the changes that God will have for us to make, and being a living sacrifice. We are not dead sacrifices. Dead sacrifices, that was covered this morning, Brother JB. That was covered this morning. Faith without works is dead. There's no fruit. God is looking for fruit, and he's not looking for just any fruit. He's looking for a good fruit. Remember the time when Jesus went to the fig tree? I think we all remember this. He went to the fig tree. He looked. He woke up and said, I'm a little hungry. I want something. Go to the fig tree. I'm paraphrasing. He looked there. It was only leaves. What did he do to that tree? Immediately the scripture says, the tree withered up. But Jesus said, you will never bear fruit. It withered up. Now I look at that in two ways. One, naturally, everything Jesus is doing is teaching. But I look at it in two ways. See, not long before that, Jesus had been to the temple. He had ramshacked the temple. You know how when you get mad, does it go go away quickly. Or sometimes it kind of linger, you know. It kind of linger a couple days, two or three days. I'm thinking maybe Jesus, when he got to that tree, I think he maybe, I'm just me. I'm thinking he was still a little warm. He was still a little upset. And he took it out a little bit. That's just my thinking. I'm not saying that he did that, but that's I look at it that way. But I just thought it was interesting, you know, that had just happened, and now here he's at the tree, and he's saying, yes, some commentators say, no, it wasn't time for the tree to bear fruit, but now Jesus knew that there was no fruit on that tree when he went there. I believe that. And so he's teaching another lesson. So when we get to John chapter 15, and yes, that's in the last week or so of Jesus' life, he goes down through the vine and the branches and all of that. And he shows us that we want to be fruitful, but in order to be fruitful, we need to stay on the vine. We need to abide in the vine. If you do not abide in the vine, there's no strength for you. You can't draw for that. And that's the encouragement, to stay put and to encourage someone else to stay put. Not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but stay put. Understand it, stay put, and God is taking you somewhere. He just wants you to follow him. Follow him. And that's by faith. See, he's not telling us to follow him blindly. And in a sense, we look at that. No, we're his children. And also, he's called us his friends. Now, if we're his friends, we know a little bit about his business. He did not leave us blind from that standpoint. So he has shared that with us in order for him to follow him acceptably. And that's what we want to do. Very important. So as we went through that, hopefully you can see that in a little bit different light, how that all comes together for that. So just a recap of that one verse. I like to do that. Just a recap. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's you. Now I bring it to us today. That's you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that brethren, by the mercies of God, what God has done for you, that you present yourself and present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy. I mean, also God has set us apart by following him, acceptable unto God, and he wants us to give us our reasonable service, our most logical, spiritual service to him. And so that's what he will have for us to do. Back to Romans 12. If you turn back to Romans chapter 12, we'll go to verse 2. It says, don't copy, because once we understand this, once we understand the verse 1, we go to verse 2, it will help make a whole lot more sense as we go through our day and what he wants from us and how he wants us to behave. Verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let, that means I give in, I yield, but let God transform you. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We all have our thinking. We all have our own thinking on how I think things should be, what I think I should do. Even though we've heard God's word over and over and over and over, we still will overlay God's word with my feelings, what I feel about this. I don't feel that's right. I don't feel I need to do that. Yeah, to one point, yes, you're right. You're right from this standpoint. Romans chapter 12, I'm in the same book. Romans 12, drop down to verse 18. Verse 18 says, do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. See, you may be doing all that you can with each other. You may be at your extent. And that's great, and that's what God is asking for. You do your part, especially in marriage, especially in your work and with one another. Do your part. That's what God is saying. Do what I've told you to do. not what you feel like doing, but do what I told you. See, that's following him. If you do what he tells you, now you're following him. And now he can take you where he wants you to be. We all know he wants us to be with him eternally. And that's the overall goal. That's where we're headed. But we got to get through this part first. We got to do our part here, and we want to be right and pleasing in God's sight in order to do that. So you do your part. And so that's where that comes in. Yes, you do your part. See, I can only go as far as I can. And you also see in the same chapters that God has given you a measure of faith. Each one of us have a measure of faith, and each one of us have a part. So you operate with that sense. So I can only go as far as I can with you, and you can only go as far as you can with me. God's going to work out the rest. As we follow him, we're going to come closer and closer and closer together. And that's his plan for us. So that's important for us to remember. So, yes, that's where that comes in. Yeah, I'm going to do what I can. And that's being pleasing and acceptable to God. I'm not waiting for you. You're not waiting for me. We are pleasing God. And so that's important for us to remember. I lost my place. Back to verse 3. Back to verse 3. It says, don't copy the behavior and custom of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know. Okay? Then you will know. Then you will know what God wants you to do. And you will know how good and pleasing and perfect and the perfect will of God. So that's our part. Verse 3. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. So Paul is warning them here. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Okay? And that's important for us to remember. How much faith God has given you. Now, God want to give you all the faith he possibly can. That's his intent for us. His intent for us he want to give us everything that he can possibly give us that we're able to handle. Okay? That's what Jesus told them. I got much more to give you, but you're not able for it right now. You're not able to handle that right now. And so that's where it comes as a measure of faith. But we're all striving. We're all moving forward. And so that's why when we approach and we deal with one another and deal with the world and whatever issues that we're dealing with, we have an understanding on how to do that. We're not forced into anything because God has given us the instruction on how to do it. So now I have peace. I don't have to be overly concerned or even worried about, hey, is this right? Is that right? No. No, you do not have to handle it that way. If you handle it according as God has given you the instructions on how to handle it, now we have the faith in order to deal with it appropriately. And that's what it would have for us to do. So hopefully that we have covered something that would be helpful for us from Romans. Yes, we have been set free. God has given us all he wants us to have in his word and in the measure of faith. And he has placed each one of us, 1 Corinthians 12:18, he has placed each one of us in the body as it pleased him. So I have nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to do what he had for me to do, and that's what he wants you to do. He placed you here. I didn't not place you here. If you haven't been placed here by God, you've been placed here by somebody else. Okay? But God has allowed that to happen too. And so he is still in control, and we want to remember that. So trust that we have gained something that will help us draw close to God and be a better sacrifice and strive to come up to the height of his dear son. You may be here, maybe a member, and you would like to make a request upon the congregation for prayers. You can do that as we sing the invitation song, come forth and do that. You may be here, and you may not be a member of the body of Christ. Or may not be a member of the Church of Christ that you read about in Scripture. And that's important for you to remember that. Jesus, while he was walking on the earth, in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And we see that church came into existence, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. After the first gospel sermon that Peter preached, Jesus added approximately 3,000 souls to the church at that time. The church is still in existence today. We are members of the Church of Christ that you see in Scripture. I think everyone should be a member of the Church of Christ because that's the one you read about in Scripture. The doctrine of Christ is no other doctrine other than his. Jesus said himself, these words is going to judge you. The words that I speak is the same words that's going to judge you in the last day. So his words is the one that we're going to come to. He is the one that died for us. And to come to Jesus, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Okay? You heard that he died, he was buried, and was raised the third day according to the scripture. And so now, as we see Peter puts it in Acts, repent. They asked the question, what must I do? He told them, repent, be baptized, every one of you for the remission of sin. We know that they had a confession because they didn't want to ask the question they came for. So after they were baptized, after they had that question, they was baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. So if you'd like to do that, at this time we will stand, and we'll have Brother Jason will lead us in our invitation song. Thank you.